do you fight with? How do you fight? What do you fight about? Good morning, it's great to have you here. So this morning, we are in our series called Games People Play, and we are talking about Battleship. And Battleship is a game where you intentionally try to attack and sink your opponent's ships, all of them. It's a game of hit or miss. It's a game of strategy, skill, and a whole lot of luck. And so what we're doing is we're talking about games that we can get important life lessons from. And Battleship is surprisingly one of them. Now, you might think the game of life would be a little bit better. But Battleship, we can actually learn a lot of good lessons from. I don't know about you, but if you've been here the last couple of weeks, you've seen that we've had some like life-size things, you know, the large Jenga, and then last week they had the large deck of cards. Well, I looked online to find a life-size battleship or a large one, and it's not out there. Now, I did see an enactment where you can like put a large tarp up and then you sit on opposite sides in chairs and you lob water bottles, that would really hurt, water balloons across, and if you hit the person with a water balloon and they get wet, then it's a hit. But I figured if I set that up, I might raise some conflict with the band. Needless to say, I didn't need to set that up. I already raised conflict with the band today. Apparently, my mic goes into their ears whether I am audible to you or not. And so as they were warming up this morning, I am singing along and I am talking and having my conversation, unbeknownst to me. First time I've heard this. I hear this, Chris, can you turn your mic off? Yeah, so I looked over, I'm like, am I muted? Yep, you're muted. So I keep going on my conversation. Chris, no, turn it off. You see, they wanted none of me because I was interfering with what they were trying to do. And for good reason. Like, I am not on the worship team for a reason. That is why I talk. So, I asked you, how do you fight? Who do you fight with? Unbeknownst to my husband, we have been in a fight lately. Have you ever had one of those? It's a fun one. Unbeknownst to my husband, I asked him for a simple little request. Hey, honey, can you help me raise my desk an inch? Like, it just needs to go up an inch because I have a unit that I need to slide underneath it so I can, like, organize my stuff. Yep, I can help you do that. And so that request came and went. And so the next week, I thought I'm going to try again. Hey, honey, can you help me raise my desk? Yep, I can do that. Can we do it today? Yep, we can do that today. Now, remind you, these are on Sunday, so it should be a holy day. He shouldn't be lying to me. However, Sunday came and went, and he went on a bike ride. Because he's preparing for a bike race. He needs to get the miles in. He needs to get the fannies, you know, just toughened up so that he can handle the amount of miles. So, needless to say, Sunday came and went, and my desk did not get raised. So in the middle of the week, I thought, I'll try this. Hey, I'm going to church. Can you come and help me raise my desk? No, I can't. I'm going for a bike ride. And so I paused, and I said, okay. And I proceeded to take myself to church, and I did not raise my desk because I was mad. Instead, I worked on another project, and I thought in my head all of the ways that I could answer him, and the anger kind of got a little bit more, and it just kind of intensified, and I got home and decided I'm not going to say anything. The fight that was unknown. Have any of you ever done that? It doesn't take much to create conflict, does it? It can be talking into a microphone when you're not supposed to be. It can be having a request that goes unanswered. Maybe it's something a little more serious, like there's something that needs to actually be discussed or done and it doesn't happen. Or maybe it runs the opposite direction where there should be a little bit of silence in the moment and there is a full throttle coming out of your mouth. Conflict happens because we are breathing humans. And if you are around another breathing human, you have, will, or are experiencing conflict. So today we're going to address this. Because it's actually really important. Not in my notes, but a little bit of hindsight thinking. As I was preparing this message, we were also in the middle of needing to go back to South Dakota because our brother-in-law's father passed away and we were going for the celebration of life. And he lived to be 79. He was a good, solid life that was filled with a lot of things. And as I looked around the room, I realized that the church was filled. There was a lot of family there because he comes from a large family. But that was only like a third of the church. The other two-thirds of the church were filled with other people. And there were some comments that were made about his temper. But what counteracted that was the amount of comments that were made about his love and compassion and his care. And what I realized as I was processing, you know, conflict and a message and sharing and like what is important in life, this topic, even though we don't like to talk about it, is actually really important. Because if all we ever do is live in the negative side of conflict, when our time comes to meet our Holy Maker, we're not going to have a church full of people that loves us. And that is what is more important than being right and winning the war, even if you don't know you're in a war. So here's what I want to do. We're going to take it out of the 30 seconds of serious. I want you to look at this picture. See what you notice first. Okay? Take the picture down, please. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what you noticed. What did you see? Ooh, you are a chatty bunch now. Ryan got you guys going. Good job, Ryan. All right. That's a whole lot of conversation about one image. Did you agree with what your neighbor saw as like the first thing that you saw? Were you in agreement? Oh, no. No, that was very quick. No. You're here for the conflict. Let's go. Okay. How you saw that picture, how you interpreted it, is what you saw. Is what you saw true and valid? Yeah, you saw it. But your neighbor saw something different. So who's right? Ooh. Now we're bringing it. Who's right? According to the Scottish Center for Conflict Resolution, this is conflict. Conflict is a struggle or a serious disagreement between opposing forces, ideas, or interests. It is a natural part of human interaction, stemming from unmet needs, differing perspectives, or power imbalances. Conflict can be intrapersonal, within the individual, within your own self, or it can be interpersonal and intergroup, meaning it is between multiple people, two or more, or between groups of entities. We've seen this a lot. All you have to do is open up social media or the news. All you have to do is walk down Main Street anywhere. You know that there is conflict happening. People are not shy about sharing. Not at all. So Paul and I had these different perspectives on raising my desk. I wanted it raised. I got progressively more upset. And the problem was how I chose to handle this conflict. Because again, he didn't know there was conflict. Right? How I handled it. Now, as I was preparing again for this message, I was like, I need some extra assistance because I live on the unhealthy side of conflict. You'll understand in just a minute. And so I was looking through my books to find a book that I thought I had purchased. Amazon told me I had purchased it, but I could not find it on my bookshelf. And so as I am looking for this book that I have supposedly purchased and I cannot find, I run across a couple of other books and I looked at them and I'm like, Healthy Conflict, Peaceful Life, Crucial Conversations. Those could maybe be really important for my message. And they were. So here's the truth. I have read these books, and as you can see, this one has a whole lot of things marked. And if you were to go through here and look, like there is underline after underline after underline. This baby is good. And so I turned back to it to give me some assistance. But here is what I would say. If there is any part of you that is like, I would like to handle conflict in a healthy and positive way, this is the book that you need to read. It is easy. It is not difficult. You will go through it quickly. It has a ton of good information. Here's the problem. Most of the time when we read things like this, it goes in, we think this is really great, and it lasts about 20 minutes, and then we forget about it. I forgot it. But when I pulled it back out and I refreshed myself, there was a lot of great things in there. So what I'm going to give you is just like the very, very, very tippest of the iceberg. If you want anything more, I encourage you to get the book and to go deeper into this. It really has a lot of good content in it. The other important thing about these two books is they are biblically based, meaning they are taking the information they are presenting and giving to us, and it comes from the biblical foundation of the Bible. So, here we go. You ready to get into some conflict? Resolution? Oh, you guys are not as excited about the resolution. All right. According to the book Crucial Conversations, the red book that you just saw, there are three ways that we handle conflict. If you look on the left side, there are the avoiders. If you look in the middle, there are the addressers, people that address conflict in a healthy and positive way. If you look on the right side, there are the attackers. They also address conflict, but in an unhealthy way. I will tell you that I am very proficient at 1 and 3. I am very proficient at avoiding, and I am very proficient at attacking. And as I was reading through this to practice one time in the car ride on the way home, I got to this point and I made that sentence. I am really proficient at 1 and 3, and my husband's over there nodding while he's driving. I was like, knock it off. Like, you get no input right now. You're simply ears, eyes on the road. And so because I am proficient at those, there is conflict that is not handled well. In high school, I was dating a guy and decided that I didn't want to date him anymore. I don't know the reason why now, but I decided I didn't want to date him, and so I broke it off, something along the lines of, it's me, not you, even though there was something that was him, but I didn't want to tell him because that was weird and awkward, right? Why do I want to hurt his feelings? Why do I want to say that? And so I broke up with him, but that also meant, because I wasn't honest with him, that I had to now avoid him in high school. That meant that I had to change all of my routes for getting around. That meant I had to park in a different spot. That meant I had to find a different lunch sitting area. That meant I had to hang out with a different group of friends, because now I'm not going to hang out with his friends because he's there, obviously. Awkward. And so the drama began. Avoiding. I will tell you, there was no resolution to that breakup. And it led to awkward interactions every time I saw him after that. Not a good place to be. I can also go to the other side. I can get a little bit attacky. But before we get attacky, let me give you this quote that Donna Jones from The Healthy Conflict, Peaceful Life has. The reason it was so awkward was because she said, unaddressed conflict never disappears. Oh, ouch. It does act like a rabbit. It multiplies fast. So when we have conflict, when we have a problem, when there is something irritating us, when we have a little thorn, when there is something big, whatever our conflict size is, when it is unaddressed in a healthy and positive way, when we avoid it, it doesn't go away. Like, that's the whole reason we avoid it, right? We just don't want to deal with it. We want it to just go away. It doesn't happen that way. So it doesn't matter if you're in school. It doesn't matter if you're at work. It doesn't matter if you're on a sports team. It doesn't matter if you have a neighbor. There will be some kind of conflict. There will be some kind of drama. It doesn't just leave itself rooted in middle school and high school dating scenes. And if we're not careful, we take the ways that we handle it in high school with us into our adulthood. And that is not positive either. So why do we need to address this? Obviously, because we don't want to avoid things, but we also do not want to get into the attacking side of things. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 says this. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. That was my other thing I was very proficient at in my younger years. I was very good at, if there was something that irritated me, I could fight back. And because I was in debate, and because I was actually kind of good at debate, I was able to attack in many ways. And I will tell you that at times, this tongue flew a little too loose, and it caused hurt, and it caused damage. At times it did not need to happen. Because instead of avoiding it, I felt like it was justified for me to be angry. And so if I'm angry, you need to understand I'm angry. And you don't need to just understand, you need to feel my anger. And so if I was on the attack, you were going to get hit. And I was going to make sure to sink. And it caused a lot of damage in relationships. It caused a lot of inner workings that I had to go through later as an adult. to try to figure out why I was responding that way, why it wasn't appropriate, how I could change things. Because I finally realized that the relationships that I wanted to have needed to survive within a safe space, and I was not creating that safe space. Here's what the Bible also says about these kind of loose tongues that create emotional volatile explosions. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Pride leads to conflict, and those who take advice are wise." I was quite prideful. I was right, which meant you were wrong. I wanted to make sure you knew I was right, because you were wrong. It didn't matter if there was middle ground. I needed to be right because I needed to feel in control. Because pride is controlling. Excuse me. It's power grabbing. It's self-focused on me and what I want, and I want control. When we try to do conflict resolution from a stance of attacking or a stance of pride, it is I'm right or you're right. There is no middle. Pride can also be very subtle. Those of you that don't deal with anger and attacking, you're like, I'm off the hook, I'm golden this morning. You're not. Are you right? Are you the only one that can do something the right way? Are you the best at it, so it must be you? Can no one else do the job, because then you would have to go and fix it? Subtle pride. It's not good enough. The second one, Proverbs 16:18, says, "Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall." Now, I've heard haughtiness a lot, but I'm also like, haughtiness, what does that mean, right? We know pride goes before destruction. We understand pride, but what is haughtiness? Haughtiness is intense pride. It is superiority. It is arrogance. When you are the cat's meow, you're being haughty. You're better. You're superior. And I tell you, when it comes to conflict and trying to have conversations, if somebody is in that frame of mind, if you are in that frame of mind, you are not open to whatever is being shared to you. You're closed off. So how do we get past pride? Because pride, honestly, is very controlling. Not for you to the other person, but it's also very controlling for you. It puts you in a spot of bondage, and I'm speaking from personal experience here. I'm not speaking because I have solved this. I'm speaking because I have lived this, and I'm still working on it. Pride puts you in a place where you are not open to listening. You maybe know you need to change, but you don't want to change because that takes work and effort, and it creates a bondage that the enemy uses as a trap to keep you where you are, to keep you from growing or improving, to keep you from relationships that can be healthy and life-giving. And so we do not want to sit within pride. Instead, what we want to do is move to the opposite of pride, which is humility. And Webster gives this definition. It is freedom from pride and arrogance. Humility is often seen as weakness. If you think of somebody as being humble, you think that they are weak, that they are accommodating, that they are giving, that they are passive, that they are a pushover. If you think somebody is too humble, if we're not careful, we consider them to be a doormat to be walked on to get what I want. That is not humility. That is not what being humble is. Being humble is actually an extremely quiet strength. It is knowing that there is a balance between the two people or two groups or the entities. Being humble is saying that I am willing to listen and hear because I appreciate and value the other side. I may not agree. That's okay. That's an important part. But I want to hear and understand because I value you and I value our relationship more than I value being right. In order for us to express humility, in order for us to work towards that middle one, the addressing healthy in addressing conflict in a healthy way, this is what we need. We need honest conversation. Donna Jones from her book has this quote. She says, "Honest conversation, the kind where we address rather than avoid or attack, is a prerequisite meaning it is needed for healthy conflict resolution. Now, this is her words, not mine. Let it sink in a minute, but let it sink in a minute. In order for us to have healthy conflict resolution, to try to get to a positive end at something that is creating tension and problem, we need to have honest conversation. Avoiding, no conversation. Attacking, depends on the people. Can be one-sided, can be both. Not a lot of honest conversation, a lot of firepower. She says that we have to live in the middle where we can address and have honest conversation. She continues with this. Snide comments, sarcastic remarks, yelling, disapproving facial expressions, silent treatments, changing the subject, dropping hints, gossip, slander, and criticism never result in lasting change, real reconciliation, or relational peace. Leave that slide up for a second. Go back one more. If you were to do a tally mark, how many would you check off? Don't feel bad, I got all of them. Right, we can laugh about it because it's funny, but it's also not funny. All of these things are natural ways that we respond because it feels good in the moment, because that is how we were raised, because that is what we know to do. They're not healthy. None of these will bring about lasting change. None of these will bring about resolution. None of these will lead into any sort of health. And we have to be willing to hear that, and we have to be willing to address that in order to change. So how do we have honest conversations that are going to address conflict and lead to a healthy resolution? We're going to turn to the words of the Bible because Jesus is the one that taught us. In Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, it's one that if you've been in church before, you've heard. You know these principles. But it's important to kind of take a moment and step back and revisit it, just like I had to revisit the book. Because when we choose to intentionally focus, it brings things to mind that we need to actually work on, address, or recognize. It says this, if a fellow believer hurts you, assuming somebody who knows Jesus, follows Jesus in his way, if they hurt you, go and tell him, work it out between the two of you, and if he listens, or she, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest and try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. And if he won't listen to the church, then you'll have to start from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance. Repentance means to ask for forgiveness, to recognize where you've gone wrong, and to try to change. And offer again God's loving forgiveness. Jesus tells us exactly how to do it. As Susanna said this morning, being within God's presence, trying to figure out our identity, it's simple. We come into God's presence, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Healthy conversations and conflict resolution is simple. We just got the outline. It's 3 verses long. Simple. Not easy. So let's look at just a few things to help us get into that conversation. This is going to be a quick hit list. Again, if you want more, get into the book. It gives more explanation, more detail. We don't have time for that this morning. But these things are important to get us started. The first one is it tells us to go to the person one-on-one and do it in a timely manner. Don't sit and wait for it to build. Don't wait for the next offense. Don't wait for the I'm going to tell you when it's a comfortable time, because that's never going to come, or it's going to be the wrong time. Go to the person directly one-on-one with whatever the conflict, whatever the tension or problem is, so that you can address it together. Number two, when you go to that person one-on-one, be very clear and be very direct. If you're anything like me, you don't like conflict, and so what you want to do is sugarcoat it. So, honey, I know I asked you to move this desk, and I know that this is mostly a me problem, but I asked you to move the desk. Raise it just an inch. Can you, I don't want to bother you, but can you? That does not speak anything clearly to him. In fact, it may even confuse it because it's like, I don't understand, like, why are you bringing this up again? Right? When we sugarcoat it, we lose the lack of clarity. Brené Brown says that clear is kind and unclear is unkind. The more clear we are about what we need, what the problem is, how it is impacting us, and what kind of positive resolution we would like to come out of it, the easier it is to have that conversation and for it to go well. If we are unclear, if I simply am being prickly and not responding and growing a little bit more distance and giving a little huff and a little cold shoulder, Paul has no idea what is wrong other than he is like, she's going through menopause. Right? That's true. Fact. All right. Fair. But it's not the problem. Be clear to be kind. Share specific facts or examples. Take personal responsibility for what you need to own, whether it's your words or your actions or your response. We have to move out of those extremities and into the middle and recognize that conflict is very, very rarely a one-way street. Usually there is something else involved. Be honest about what your part is and take responsibility. Keep the problem the problem. Do not make the person the problem. It is so easy today for us to objectify people when we don't see them because it's on a screen, when we're not around them because it's hearsay from somebody else. When we objectify a person, we take away the humanity that they have. We take away the need to address them with kindness and respect as we would want to be addressed. Because they are no longer a person, they are not an object, and we've dehumanized them. Not a good place to be. So when we default to the strategies that attack or avoid, we miss the opportunity that comes to have healthy resolution, to have personal growth, to take that relationship to the next level because we have walked through things together and we've communicated, to try to figure out what the patterns are that keep us locked in the conflict so that we can get out of those patterns. I need to say here, and you need to hear me very loudly, not all relationships are to be saved. If you are in an abusive situation, whether it is physical, emotional, verbal, you are not to stay in that relationship. That is not healthy. You need to get help. You need to come and ask at the church for us to help you, to get you connected to counselors that can help you, to get you into an appropriate organization that can help you. Abuse is never, never, never okay. If you are in the situation where you are doing the abusing, there is help for you as well. Let me be very clear. This is not you are kicked out. This is we want to walk alongside you and show you God's ways because they are better. Some people do not know the difference because they have never experienced anything other than abusing or being abused. That is not the place to stay. So please ask for help. We are here to help. Healthy conflict resolution is needed. When we try to justify or rationalize anything outside of the healthy realm, it ends up hurting us and it ends up hurting the other person. When we lead with humility and we step into the middle side of addressing conflict, as I said, it allows for growth, but what it also does is create a safe place for the other person to feel seen and known and valued. That is what we would want to experience if we have done something to hurt another person, intentionally or unintentionally. So many times our conflict comes because of miscommunication, and we don't even realize miscommunication has happened. Quote, raise the desk an inch. But because of that miscommunication, that is where the healthy conversations need to come in. James 1, 19 and 20 says this, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce righteousness God desires. Quick to listen, slow to speak. We like to flip-flop those two. Right? If we flip-flop those two and we can do the talking, we can prove our point, we can still be right. Let me tell you why we should flip it and be quick to listen and slow to speak. There is something out there called the 43-57 rule. Have you ever heard of it? Nope. As I was talking and running through my message, I'm going through this. Use the 43-57 rule. I start to explain it, and my husband, again, who's driving, what is that? I've never heard of that. What? And I'm like, oh, psst. Your job is ears and eyes. The 43-57 rule, I had never heard of it before either, is this. Scientifically proven to be the perfect ratio of talking versus listening. 43% talking, 57% listening. Listening is heavier. More. 43% talking, 57% listening. When this happens, it is the most effective ratio for communication to happen and for conflicts to be resolved. They did some scientific research and some studies, and they found that within the sales world, that the salespeople who use this principle of talking less and listening more actually had the highest percentage of sales. The salespeople that talked 60% or more had the lowest percentage of sales. When we listen more than we talk, what it does is it allows opportunities to ask questions. It allows us to get to the root of what the real problem actually is, because that is where we're going to find solutions together. When all we do is stay at the problem and talk about the problem, nothing changes or gets resolved. So when we take the time to actually listen and hear what the problem really is, that is when healthy conflict can be resolved. Let me hit you with one more sensitive thing. What if you are the person that is always offended? I seem to always find the conflict. The conflict always finds me. I'm always upset. I am always wronged. Why can't they ever just understand and do it my way? If you are always offended, and I can tell you this because I have lived this, if you are always offended, you need to assess your offense meter because it is off. If you are in patterns where you are always easily triggered, you are always easily offended, there is something deeper going on that you need to identify. Take it down a few levels. I was frustrated because Paul didn't answer my request right away. I was angry because I had made several requests that went unanswered. I went silent because I was mad, and it was a form of silent punishment, even though it shouldn't have been. I was being triggered because of an unhealthy past relationship where my needs met unmet intentionally, but that was not the case going on here because I had not been clear about why I wanted the desk raised and how important it was to me. If you find yourself being easily and continuously offended or offended at very high levels which don't really match the offense, but you are exploding at the top, again, there are ways to move into the healthy side of things. I'm happy to talk. I will say I'm much better now than I was as a younger version. And I still have quite a ways to go. We can do it together. So Jesus was very clear. one-on-one. If one-on-one doesn't work, then you're going two or three people to talk to the person. This is very important because it is meant to go as witnesses to maintain clarity, emotional stability, and accountability for what is truly spoken and happening. It is not meant to be a pack mentality. Two or three does not mean I gather my friends because they have my back and they are going to jump on this person just like I want to. Two or three does not mean that more of us have more power, so you need to see things our way. Two or three are for witnesses and clarity. That is it. If it still doesn't work, then we're talking about a very serious problem, probably, that needs outside assistance. And the church leadership is here. When it says take it to the church leadership is here to help. There are pastors, there are advisory team members, there are leaders that are very wise in conflict and how to handle it. They are meant to help bring things to resolution. And the thing to notice at the very end of Matthew 17 was it says again to offer God's forgiving love. So if we reach a point where we cannot reach resolution, it may be that that relationship is time for you to step away from. But what it doesn't mean is that God is done with that individual. You might need to be done. God is not done. Because God is never done with us. He wants restoration. He wants reconciliation. He wants a relationship with us. And so he says for us to continuously pray for that person that they would know God's presence and his peace. That is what our job is to do. Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter goes to Jesus right after this teaching and he says, so Lord, how many times should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven? And Jesus says, no, not seven, 70 times. 70 times seven. That's a lot of forgiving. Because you see, what Peter is saying is, Lord, the norm right now is I could forgive somebody three times and then move on and like kick them out. Is that okay? So if we go to seven, Jesus, I'm doubling it. Like I'm more than doubling it. Am I good? Like, is that enough forgiveness? And Jesus says, no. 70 times seven. It's a lot of attempts at forgiveness. Because Jesus does not want us in broken relationships. Jesus does not want us to be outside of God's will and his way. He wants there to be restoration. He wants there to be connection. He wants us to live healthy lives that are full of life because we are following him and his ways, not in bondage from pride, avoidance, or attacking. So let's look at the face picture one more time. I know you guys already did a whole lot of talking about it, but tell your neighbor, again, what you saw first, and listen to what they saw first. And then see if you notice anything different on the second go-around. Here's why I liked this image. How many of you saw a single face looking at you? Yeah, so put up the single face. This is the single face looking at you. Looking forward. How many of you saw two faces in the image? Quite a few of you. Two faces looking sideways at each other, right? How many of you noticed first the candlestick in the middle? That's getting in the way, right? Actually, it's super important. I don't think the artists had any spiritual connection to this picture. Maybe they did. I didn't research it. So here's where my brain went when you look at all three. Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, three in one. They're the Holy Trinity. He wants us to have a whole and complete united relationship with them. We are going to the person one-on-one to resolve conflict. When that doesn't work, then it becomes two or three go. But when we look at the two to three, we notice that they are facing each other. They are not opposing. It is super important when we have conflict that we go to the person and we are real and we are honest and we try to have healthy resolution. And that means talking, and that means looking at each other. The candlestick in the middle could be seen as something that is divisive or intruding or in the way, but instead what I look at it as is that candlestick represents the light of Jesus in the darkness. Always meant to be front and center. Always meant to be giving us hope and something to aim towards. Always meant to be uniting us. Wherever you are in your relationships, I encourage you to aim towards becoming healthy in how you address your conflict. It will take time and it will take practice. It does not happen overnight, especially if you're living on the outside edges. But I can tell you it is worth the effort and is worth the work to work towards having healthy relationships and addressing conflict in a healthy manner so that you can maintain, develop, expand your healthy relationships. That is the way of God. Will you please pray with me? Jesus, I just pray that you would help us to recognize where we are this morning. Father, we've talked about some challenging things, and maybe for some of us, it is the depth of where we're sitting right now. And maybe for some of us, it's the furthest thing from where we are. But I pray whatever it is you want to speak to us this morning about our relationships, you would help us to lean into that, even if it is uncomfortable, even if it feels awkward, even if it feels challenging or impossible. Because we know that when we present whatever it is we are dealing with, whatever it is we desire to you, that you are with us and you will walk with us. So I pray this morning that you would touch each of our hearts and minds exactly where it is that you want us to look at and you want us to address, to bring it to you and to ask for your help, ask for your forgiveness, ask what we need to do next. Thank you that you love us enough that you do not want us to sit in unhealthy conflict. You do not want us to be in relationships that are hurtful or damaging or destructive. You long for us to know you, and you long for us to know your ways that lead toward peace and life. So I pray that you would help us to do that this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.